is Singing and Other Sins, a production of Hawaii Public Radio, funded by the Bauer Foundation and supporters like you. Many thanks, member supporters. I'm Gary Hickling. This edition of Singing and Other Sins will focus on the recent release of the Songs of Meyerbeer. You can read the translations at hawaiipublicradio.org/singingandothersins. Dr. Leslie Wright will provide the background information on these Meyerbeer songs, but before anything else, let's hear one. This is De Mei Giorni, a lover's lament. The soprano is Sivan Rotem and the pianist Jonathan Zack. That was De Mei Giorni, a sad lover but a beautiful song, on the recently released Naxos CD of Songs of Meyerbeer with Sivan Rotem and the pianist Jonathan Zack. Now for some expert commentary on the composer, I turn to Dr. Leslie Wright, professor of musicology at the University of Hawaii, Manoa. Let's begin with his name.
Jakob Liebmann Meyerbeer, also known as Giacomo Meyerbeer. Okay.
How did he get to Giacomo?
He went to Italy. He picked it up in Italy.
And that became his official name?
Certainly, that's what he put on his scores. Yeah. He's born in 1791, so he's really a contemporary of Rossini, and lived till 1864. Rossini died a few years afterwards, so they're really contemporaries. He's highly significant in the history of opera, and specifically Parisian Grand Opera. It's a genre that influenced composers as significant as Wagner and Verdi and Mussorgsky, and is different. It might surprise people to know that he also wrote songs, something near to 70 songs in three different languages, from as early as 1810 through about 1860. but the bulk of the songs come from the 1830s and 40s, which would have been the period when he was really cementing his relationship with the Parisian public.
Wow, thank you, Dr. Wright. Before we hear more about Meyerbeer's songs, let's sample an aria from one of his grand operas, Le Prophète. Listening to Singing in Other Sins, which focuses on art song. But since Dr. Wright mentioned the important part that Meyerbeer's grand operas played in the music world of 19th century Paris, we needed to hear this aria, which gives us an idea of the grand nature of his operas. We heard Pour Bertha, moi je spire, I sigh for Bertha, with tenor James McCracken and the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra conducted by Henry Lewis. Now, Dr. Wright, tell me about some Meyerbeer songs.
When he wrote songs, he was writing more for the salon, for home entertainment.
Which began with the salon of his mother.
Meyerbeer's mother was called the Queen Mother because of her civic responsibility and her well-known hospitality and maternal devotion. And Giacomo, then called Jacob, of course, made his public debut as a pianist in 1801 in the salon. Some of the people who came to her salon are pretty big names. Of course, Zelter, his teacher, Weber, his friend, Clementi, Hummel, Moscheles, Paganini. So this was quite a salon. And there were singers like Henriette Sontag.
Of course.
And Wilhelmina Schröder-Devrin.
Oh, my God.
Okay, big name singers. And there were composers, singers, statesmen, diplomats, aristocrats, artists, writers. They all came to her salon.
Wow.
So the very talented sons of the Baer family would perform for the guests. His younger brother, Michael Baer, was a very talented playwright and poet.
Impressive. Before we hear more about his mother and her salon, let's hear another Meyerbeer song from his Italian years when he was just 19. This is Da voi cari lumi, in which the lover looks to the stars for support. Once again, we'll hear the soprano Sivan Rotem on this Naxos recent release.
Voi siete mie in nube, voi siete il mio cuore.
Meyerbeer's Davoy Cari Lumi with Sivan Rotem and Jonathan Zak. You're listening to Singing and Other Sins, this edition featuring the songs of Meyerbeer on a Naxos recent release. My special guest is University of Hawaii at Manoa musicologist Dr. Leslie Wright. Tell us more about Meyerbeer's mother and her Berlin salon.
She was a highly cultivated person, the daughter of a banker from a wealthy background. His father was even wealthier. He was an industrialist, richest man of his generation in Berlin, and director of the city's stock exchange.
Wow.
So he grew up in a privileged background with access to everything he needed to develop as a performer and as a composer.
Thanks, Dr. Wright. Now it's time to hear a song Meyerbeer wrote in his own language to the words of the poet Heine, who was part of his mother's salon life in Berlin. We'll hear Die Rose, die Lilie, die Taube, die Sonne, the rose, the lily, the dove, the sun, well known in Schumann's setting in Dichterliebe. Now from the Naxos recent release of Meyerbeer songs with soprano Sivan Rotem.
Nicht mehr, ich sah sie nicht mehr.
That was Meyerbeer's setting of Die Rose, die Lilie, die Taube, die Sonne, The Rose, the Lily, the Dove, the Sun, with Sivan Rotem and Jonathan Sack. And while that's still in your head, let's hear a comparison recording with Thomas Hampson.
Die Lilie, die Taube, die Sonne, die liebt ich einst alle in Liebeswonne. Ich lieb sie nicht mehr, ich liebe alleine die Kleine, die Feine, die Reine, die Heine, sie selber alle Liebe Wonne, ist Rose und Lilie und Taube und Sonne. Sie ist Rose und Lilie und Taube und Sonne. Das Klagen, das Sehnen, die Seufzer, die Tränen, eins verlacht ich sie mit Spotten und Höhnen. Ich lache nicht mehr, ich sah sie. Nun seufz ich und weine, doch Reiz verleiht ein Blick der Schönen. Dem Klagen, dem Sehnen, den Seufzern, den Tränen, Reiz verleiht sie dem Sehnen, den Seufzern, den Tränen.
Thomas Hampson sang Meyerbeer's Die Rose, die Lilie, die Taube, die Sonne, The Rose, the Lily, the Dove, the Sun, with Jeffrey Parsons, the pianist. Dr. Wright, considering his big opera successes, why did Meyerbeer also write songs?
He didn't produce operas as rapidly as some of his contemporaries, like Rossini, who seemed to be able to turn them out, you know, several a year until he stopped abruptly. And there were these gaps between premieres, like Robert le Diable, 1831, and then 5 years to Les Huguenots, right? And then more than that, to 1849 for the Prophète. Of course, Meyerbeer was very busy, but he was also a perfectionist who revised and revised and revised and cared about every single detail. And these smaller works, I think, kept his name in front of the public. He could go to the salons if he wanted to as things were being premiered. Perhaps his publisher wanted him to write these just to keep the name so it's not forgotten, even though the works were performed all the time.
You mentioned earlier that Meyerbeer's brother was a poet, and I have a song to Michael Beer's words, The Song of the Venetian Gondoliers, sung by Anne-Sophie Fonotta. You can read the original words and a translation at hawaiipublicradio.org/singinginothersins.
Und frische Lüftchen, komm, komm, wie
Meyerbeer's Song of the Venetian Gondoliers, set to his brother's words and sung here by Annie Sophie von Otter with Melvin Tan at the forte piano. Let's hear that same song from the recent release CD with Sivan Rotem and Jonathan Sack. Sivan Rotem and Jonathan Sack performed Meyerbeer's Song of the Venetian Gondoliers. You're listening to Singing and Other Sins, and we're learning background information on Meyerbeer from University of Hawaii at Manoa's Professor of Musicology, Dr. Leslie Wright. Dr. Wright, you've spoken of the Berlin Salon of Meyerbeer's mother, but he probably found salons in Paris as well, no?
Any composer who was sort of recognized in the right salons could maintain his career and develop contacts with all the people who mattered in the literary, journalistic, and artistic world. It was called the Tout Paris, T-O-U-T, all Paris. You know, sort of a few hundred people who really directed taste and matters artistic or literary.
And you have a description of one of those French, the Parisian salons of 1836.
And this was a salon that had its emphasis on the literary, but there was music. And this is the people who were there. At Madame de Girardin's, there were many literary figures. First, her mother, Madame Sophie Gay. Next, Alfred de Musset, Lamartine, Balzac, Victor Hugo, Jules Janin, Émile Deschamps, who would be the author of some of the texts from Meyerbeer's songs, not to mention the text for Berlioz's symphony, Romeo and Juliet, Alexandre Dumas, Ossequier and others. Madame de Girardin recited some of her pretty poems to us with grace and, what is more, perfect simplicity. Lamartine spoke charmingly to us about these, which have not yet been published. These recitations alternated with romances, the words of which were composed by some of those present, and put to music by Labarre, who was a harp virtuoso, who wrote many songs, who sang or accompanied them. Several of the romances have been composed by Mademoiselle Lambert, a charming young person of great talent, who sang them in inimitable fashion. She ended up marrying Labarre the next year. And each time the performer was placed at the piano, Madame Gay named the author of the poem and explained what it was about. So that tells you how central the poetry was to the experience of being in that salon. And I think that was not infrequent, that people were very much interested in how the words and the music went together.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
With that assemblage of poets, it's no wonder Meyerbeer was inspired to write songs. You mentioned Deschamps, and we have a song to his words called Rachel à Neptali from the Naxos CD.
C'est ton Dieu fort à nous.
From the recently released CD that we're featuring on this edition of Singing and Other Sins, you just heard Sivan Rotem and Jonathan Zak in Meyerbeer's Rachel on Naphtali. Now, Dr. Wright, what position does Meyerbeer hold in the world of song?
See, Meyerbeer as a songwriter in history, he's credited with developing the French romance, which was the type of song written for the salon, into a small-scale drama. And he wrote a number of types of songs. In addition to writing in three different languages, he wrote various song types. Some dramatic and lyric scenes that have certain operatic characteristics in them. Some very, very light songs. Just light text and very charming little songs. Some of them are just a minute long. You know, this is from somebody who writes enormous grand opéra, but he also wrote very small pieces. He wrote some songs with religious overtones, pieces that imitated folk songs, and then some songs that are very close to the German Lied in style. One of the pieces I thought was particularly charming was one called Chant de Mai, the May song, and there's a lovely roulade on the word fredonner, which means to hum, but in the context of this song, I think it has to do with a bird singing.
Well, let's hear the Chant de May right now.
Amour, 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 c'est amour, amour.
Song of May by Meyerbeer with Sivan Rotem, soprano, and Jonathan Sack, piano. Dr. Wright, you mentioned that Meyerbeer wrote songs in the style of Lieder, and I'd like to play Komm du schönes Fischermädchen, Come You Pretty Fisher Lady, which he set to the poetry of Heine. We'll hear Thomas Hampson singing.
Schönes Fischermädchen, treibe den Kahn ins Land. Komm zu mir, setz dich nieder, wir kosen Hand in Hand. Leg an mein Herz dein Köpfchen und fürchte dich nicht zu sehen. Vertraust du dich doch sorglos täglich den wilden Meer. Mein Herz gleicht ganz dem Meer. Hat Sturm und Ebbe und Flut und manche schöne Perle in seiner Tiefe ruht. Komm, komm, du schönes Fischemädchen, komm, komm, wir kosen Hand in Hand, komm, komm, komm. Siehst du den Abendstern? Oh, komm zur stillen Hütte, wir liebt ist einsam gern. In deine Fesseln liege den trotzigen wilden Sinn. Sanft wie die Rosenwelle, lenk ihn zufrieden hin. Da draußen auf dem Meer ist oft Gefahr und Not. Senk in mein Herz den Anker von deinem Liebensboot. Komm, komm, du schönes Fischemädchen, komm, komm, wir kosen Hand in Hand, komm, komm, komm.
Thomas Hampson with Jeffrey Parsons in Come You Pretty Fisher Lady by Meyerbeer. Now from the recently released Naxos CD, we'll hear that same song with Sivan Rotem, soprano, and Jonathan Zak, piano.
Oh!
I certainly agree with you, Dr. Wright. Such a song really fits with the other Lieder being written in 1839. That was Come You Pretty Fisher Lady by Meyerbeer with Sivan Rotem soprano and Jonathan Sack piano. Let's hear another of these Lieder of Meyerbeer. This is Hör ich das Liedchen klingen, to Heine's poetry, and also set by Schumann. I hear the little song singing. We'll hear it first sung by Thomas Hampson.
Das Liedchen klingen, das einst die Liebste sang, will mir die Brust zerspringen vor wildem Schmerzensdrang. Mich treibt ein wildes Sehnen hinauf zur Walleshöhe, dort löst sich auf in Tränen ein übergroßes Weh.
Thomas Hampson with Jeffrey Parsons performed Meyerbeer's Do I Hear the Little Song, Hör ich das Liedchen klingen. And from the recent release, we'll hear Sivan Rotem sing it. It's always interesting to hear different interpretations of the same song. That was Sivan Rotem, soprano, and Jonathan Sack, piano, performing Meyerbeer's Do I Hear the Little Song, Hör ich das Liedchen klingen. Dr. Wright, what did the critics of his time have to say about Meyerbeer's songs?
The critics praised these songs, gave credit to Meyerbeer's Germanic genius for enriching the genre. So there was an idea that bringing things in from another culture could enrich things. It was an open, relatively open culture. He sought poetry by some of the greatest poets, like Heine, for example. And, of course, Heine was another German Jew who ended up in Paris because it was more politically progressive and culturally tolerant. Okay. Then he also set poetry by Goethe, poetry by Émile Deschamps, who I mentioned, and Blas de Bury, who was a very powerful critic. It must have been a wise move to set poetry by the critic of the Revue des Deux Mondes, which was one of the great literary magazines of the period. He set poetry by Michel Carré, who was part of the librettist team, Barbier et Carré. They are the team that worked a great deal with Gounod. And Carré actually was one of the librettists for Bizet's Pearl Fishers. So he was very well known as a librettist, but he also wrote poetry that could be set to song.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Let's hear one of those songs that Meyerbeer set to Goethe's poetry. This is Zuleika. Beautiful song. Goethe's words, Zuleika, set by Meyerbeer in 1838 and performed by Sivan Rotem, soprano, and Jonathan Sack, piano, from the featured Naxos recent release CD of Meyerbeer's songs. I'd like to close with some instrumental music from Meyerbeer's Le Prophète, one of his grand opéras, but before I do, I want to thank our guest musicologist, Professor Dr. Leslie Wright of the University of Hawaii at Manoa, for all of her help. Music from Meyerbeer's Le Prophète, performed by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Henry Lewis. This has been Singing and Other Sins, featuring the recently released Naxos CD of Meyerbeer songs. Remember to check out Hawaii Public Radio's website for the Art Song Contest information, hawaiipublicradio.org/singingandothersins. This is Gary Hickling. Aloha.